This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
O'clock on Grant and Danny means we're Beltway blitzing in just a moment. Breaking news out of the NFL. The New York Jets trading Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. The Jets getting a sixth round pick this year and second and fourth round picks next year for Darnold, who struggled immensely this season, has been a huge disappointment as a top five pick, as part of a horrendous organization and in bad offense under Adam Gase. Obviously, Matt Rhule and Carolina feel like he's got talent and the potential that they want in their quarterback of the future. Couple of side effects here from this move. First and foremost, I think from Washington's perspective, you got to wonder if this means Carolina out on a quarterback in the top 10 now, potentially. They could still draft one, but where they're picking at this point, The thought was they're going to take a QB to supplant Teddy Bridgewater. After trading for Sam Darnold, I think it stands to reason they may not take a quarterback.
Right.
And maybe that means one of the QBs, Washington's hoping one of the five falls to 19.
I hadn't thought of that angle.
Slides a little bit further.
Is it their own version? Hear me out on this. Is it their own version of Fitzpatrick? In other words, the just in case we don't get the guy we want, we're not going to get left with nothing insurance?
I don't think you give up three picks, including a second, for
insurance.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right.
Washington goes and gets Fitzpatrick. They rent him for 1 year and they're giving him $10 million when they got a lot of cap space.
Right.
Carolina just gave up a second round pick as part of a three pick package.
That's a good point.
You're making a commitment. Now, it's not a substantial enough commitment that he's definitively your QB for the next 10 years.
But it's worth the flyers, is their point.
He's going to get the starts this coming year. Mm-hmm. He's going to compete with Teddy Bridgewater immediately. I'm curious to see what happens with Bridgewater. More on this in just a few minutes on Grant and Danny, but let's get to our Beltway Blitz and get it started right now with the breaking news of the day from Nationals Park down the street. Matt Wehrick of NBC Sports Washington joins us to discuss what's going on. So there was a workout today, Matt. Fill us in on which Nationals were not available and didn't participate today and what the roster looks like it's shaping up to be tomorrow when they open the season against the Braves.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It's definitely looking like the Nats are going to be without a significant chunk of their starting lineup. As many as five players could be missing. Some notable players that weren't seen out on the field today include Trey Turner and Josh Bell, two of the key hitters in the middle of their lineup. So the Nationals' offensive situation is a bit in flux right now, to the point where Jonathan Lucroy, who was just picked up off the street a few days ago, could end up being their opening day catcher.
Matt, what's the timetable for once these guys are cleared? And I think there's so many variables as to when that actually happens, but the time between whether it's DC, Major League Baseball, whoever's in charge says, okay, green light now, to when they can actually start playing baseball games.
Yeah, right now it appears they're going off of MLB's protocols, which say that any player who tests positive must be cleared and then spend 10 days in isolation, while players who were exposed have 7 days until they are eligible. So the Nationals' last round of testing of spring training occurred a week ago today. So that would put them, these players, looking at a possible return, at least those who did not test positive but were being deemed contacts, not returning until probably at least after this upcoming Braves series.
Be a big deal, though, if they could get some of those guys to help them when they're going out west to play the Los Angeles Dodgers. So as of tomorrow afternoon when Max Scherzer's on the hill, what kind of chance should we give them? If they've got Juan Soto leading the way, but no Schwarber and no Bell and no Turner, And they're having a series against the Hungry Braves team that just got swept. With or without those guys, what should we expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle. There's no way around it. The Nationals are working with a lot of players who they weren't expecting to have up in the majors until later on this season, where they could get some seasoning down in the minor leagues, the alternate site, whatever it is. So this is going to be a challenge, and players seem to be taking it a lot of different ways. Max Scherzer, of course, taking it in stride, saying that, you know, it's just another thing we're going to have to absorb, while Soto, on the other hand, is saying, I think we actually have an advantage because these other teams have gotten to play before us, and we kind of see how they're going while we are get a fresh slate.
Ultimately, though, I mean, it's easy to say that and put a positive spin on things, Matt, but we kind of know that the truth is probably somewhere in between. The other part of it that about this is Mike Rizzo has said repeatedly, hey, we got to get guys worked out because spring training was over, you know, more than a week ago, and there's this gap. Don't we need a couple of practice days so these guys can at least get out and run and throw? I mean, last year, Juan Soto was riding his Peloton in his apartment waiting to be able to be active, and he's superhuman, but everybody else might need a couple days to ramp up, right?
Yeah, and I mean, MLB wanted to start their season today. They wanted the Braves series to go on today, but the Nationals, including Max Scherzer, who's one of their player reps with the Players Union, he made a big point of saying, look, we need a couple of days to work out, get going. The team was able to return to the stadium last night and then had mandatory workouts this morning, at least those who were eligible. So they have had now 2 days to practice. The pitchers have been able to get stretched out to the point where they now feel comfortable going, but in an ideal space, yeah, they probably would have needed a little bit more time.
Based on what we've seen so far, the sample size is small. Phillies swept the Braves, obviously, and the Mets have not played going into the season. Give us your NL East projection and pecking order for the first half of this year. What do you think?
Coming into the year, you know, I felt like the Mets are the class of the division. I've been saying that for a few years now, and it seems like they finally started to put it all together. I think Lindor really was the missing piece for that ball club, so I'm really interested to see how they get going with DeGrom on the hill tonight for them. And of course, you have the Nationals, who won the 2019 World Series. Their team is looking at 2020 as kind of an anomaly, and I like to think that that's something that's somewhat true. You saw a lot of players pitch outside of what you'd expect for them in their careers, so some aggression to the mean for them would mean good things for the Nationals. They're still missing that bat behind Soto. You know, they have Josh Bell, but he's no Anthony Rendon, so it's going to be up to him to kind of take that step forward and be that complete hitter that really complements Soto in the lineup. So I think the Nationals have the potential to be that number two team in the NL East, but the Braves, of course, have won 3 straight division titles, and they can't be counted out at all. They have a young pitching staff that needs to prove itself. It's been getting a lot of credit for being very good. You know, Max Fried, Mike Soroka, and, of course, Ian Anderson, all guys who haven't had a ton of time in the major leagues. Soroka, of course, coming off a torn Achilles, while the other two really broke out in 2020, but it's a shortened season. So we're going to need to see them do that over the course of a full season before I write them in as that number two team. So right now I would put the Nationals at number two, the Braves 3, and of course Phillies and Marlins rounding things out.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Yep, you too, guys. Thanks.
We'll see you, man. Let's talk some hoops, please. Ava Wallace covers those Wizards. That's why she's on the Beltway Blitz to talk about him. Ava, it's just kind of sad at this stage. There are a couple games out of that 10 spot, and that's like saying, well, the scraps from the table where the scraps fell onto, they might have a shot at those things. It just feels hopeless and depressing. That stretch where they played great seems like it was 10,000 years ago. I guess there's not a question there. It's just kind of like, that's how I feel. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny because they're, what, 3 games back out of the 10th spot, and they're something like, I might get this wrong, 5 games out of the lottery position. Yep. So it's a really weird place for the Wizards. It's kind of like, well, depending on your outlook on life, yeah, it can be a little bit depressing.
7 o'clock tip with the Raptors tonight. What do we need to know about the game?
This is a really, really important week for the Wizards because it's 2 good Eastern Conference teams. So we're kind of seeing what they're looking at here. If you can pick up 2 games like this, that's excellent for, like we said, their pretty precarious position there, aiming for the 10 spots of the play-in tournament. If they lose both of those games, that's going to mean a lot because, you know, the next week they go out west and those games don't matter as much for their playoff position. So it kind of determines what we're looking at for the rest of the season. So this week, super important. Tonight, we know that Rui Hachimura is going to be out for the 2nd straight game. He's got some right shoulder tightness that caught Scott Brooks a little bit off guard. He thought he was going to be able to play last game, but it's bad enough that he'll now miss his 2nd straight game. And it's going to be a lot of weight on Russell Westbrook's shoulders again, especially since Bradley Beal is questionable. He's been dealing with a hip contusion for 4 games now.
Ava, I've been, again, this is another bad question. I'm pretty much giving you terrible questions here on the Beltway Blitz. I apologize. I've been in a running argument with my buddy about Rui, and here's how I feel. I think it's just empty calorie buckets. He's on the court. He sort of drifts around, doesn't rebound, play make, assist, defend consistently, but can score a little bit. But he's out there. Like, I think a lot of people could do what he's doing offensively, and it's good. The point totals have been there. At least he's more assertive. But I don't think this is special. I think he's still kind of what I've always thought he's been, and that's probably a sixth or seventh guy on a playoff team. And he thinks it's the opposite, that this is the awakening. Who's right? And you could say me.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? I think there's progress, right? Progress, and we'll definitely take a win for progress, especially after the weird two first years in the league he has. I think it makes a big difference. Like you said, he's definitely playing more assertively and more aggressively. And that was what the Wizards always felt like was going to be the first step with this guy. You know, you can talk about the shooting. They definitely want him to take more threes. He definitely needs to get to the rim more. He's kind of living and dying in the mid-range these days. He's doing it really well. So like you said, the points have definitely been there. But, you know, they're not ever going to be the most efficient shots in today's NBA. But I think the Wizards are really happy that he got a little Westbrook in him now. You know, he's actually going for some dunks. He's playing more assertively, and he's stepping up, especially on those games that Bradley Beal was out. He took those seriously and said, okay, I need to make the most of these minutes, whereas that's just not something we were seeing with Rui earlier in his career. So it does feel like a page turn in that way for sure, and I'm really interested to see how his shot is going to follow.
You mentioned that Beal is questionable. I mean, should I be concerned at this point about this injury? I kind of felt like it was a day-to-day. He'll miss a couple games thing. It's been over a week now.
Yeah, and they're definitely playing it really cautiously with the hip injury. Again, it's a contusion, so those can just take – they just need time. It's not like there's treatment or anything that you can really do to kind of speed that up. I'm sure they're, of course, doing everything, all the stuff that they have access to, but it's really just waiting it out, and they're definitely not going to rush Bradley Beal back for sure. But yeah, I mean, how do you not be concerned, especially after you see what they did the other night when Rui was also out? It just feels like Westbrook has to make a big play on every single possession, and Scott Brooks has been saying for the past couple of games they need their other rotational guys to step up, and that just hasn't been happening lately. So if that doesn't happen and Beal misses another game, it's going to be a really, really tough week here for them.
Ava, you're the best. Always appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk soon. How about some puck, please, Darius? Our guy John Walton joins us, calls games. You can hear him right here on 106.7 The Fan. And John, this is interesting because you've called eight times, I think maybe it's eight times, you've called Capitals Devils games, and you've called eight wins. That's weird, man, but it's very, very cool. The Caps dominate the Devils. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's tough to do that, Danny. I mean, over the course of a season, I mean, in the NHL or any league, to do that as many times as the Capitals have done to the Devils is an accomplishment. I mean, you got to beat the teams that you have on your schedule, and the Devils are a team outside the playoff picture. But, I thought they showed a lot of guts yesterday when it wasn't their best game, I didn't think, when they were outshot 39-19. But, I thought to be able to get 2 points, they needed a rebound from a couple of rough games to start the road trip, and now you get a win tomorrow night, and you go 3-2 on the trip. There's nothing wrong with that.
John, someone who didn't watch the game yesterday might just look at the box score and see 35 saves, 39 shots, and .897 save percentage for Ilya Samsonov and say, that's not great. You got to do a little better. Thought he was magnificent, though.
Yeah.
I thought he was the reason why they won. A, what'd you make of his performance? B, where are we at with him trying to catch Vitek Vanacek in the goaltending chase?
Well, first of all, Grant, I agree with you in the fact that the numbers don't tell the story with him. Damon Severson had a chance late in the second period that could have easily gone in, and he was so upset he went down the tunnel and destroyed his stick after. So, he was frustrating for the Devils. He was very good. The Devils outplayed the Caps yesterday, but Ilya gets the win. And as far as the pecking order of the goaltenders, I really feel, guys, like Ilya's moving to the forefront here at being the number one. It has been a month today that Vitek Vanacek last played back-to-back games on March 3 and March 5. They're both getting the net, yes. And Peter Laviolette has said that they're going to need them both down the stretch in the regular season. That's true. They're going to need them both in the playoffs. That's possible. But I think Ilya Samsonov is solidifying himself as the number one. And with the performance he had yesterday, if he continues to play like that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you've got two young goaltending options here. Both have been very important to this team. But Ilya is starting to round into form right now.
John, they've a lot of guys deserve a lot of spotlight, a lot of shine for how well this team has played over this year. I think you and I talked during one of your hits a few weeks back. I'm going, hey, what's going on with Dmitry Orlov, right, as we're kind of waiting around? I feel like he's been unbelievable here, really starting, I would say, middle of March. It just feels like his game has picked up. He looks faster, more comfortable, and he is a threat every time he's got the puck moving around the ice. Have you kind of noticed an uptick in his game?
Yeah, this has been a really good season for him. And I think offensively, you know, you see the overtime winners, and those are the ones that you see on the highlights the next morning. But, you know, I think he's been very steady. I think he's, you know, he's always real sneaky, too, with the hits, that he'll come in,
yeah,
he'll drill you with a hip check like no one else will. And, you know, that doesn't always happen. But, I think that confidence has been there. And I think this D-Core as a whole has been pretty good. They're going to need to be. I mean, I think you look back at last season, that was one of the real failings of this team, was they really weren't able to be consistent enough in their own zone. I think Dmitry has been good at that. I think others have been good at that. And I think that's an encouraging sign as we get toward the end of the regular season.
No bones about it. Peter Laviolette, not a fan of Jacob Vranas right now. He is in the doghouse. Didn't play either of the last two games after he had just one positive plus-minus game in his last 11. Do we see him on the ice against the Isles tomorrow?
You know, right now I'd say no. And the reason I do is because you're not going to mess with a lineup that's winning. I'm not saying that even as it's like so much against Jake, but when you're not in the lineup and the team is winning, it's tough to get back in. And Jake has had spurts where he's been very good offensively. He has not had one of those spurts lately. He hasn't had a goal in 11 games. So you've got to take somebody out. When you've got Connor Sherry playing as well as he is, when you have Daniel Sprong playing as well as he is, Richard Ponick had to sit for a couple of games, but defensively, you know, he does stuff away from the puck that you need. He's tough to play against. He's going to lay a hit. He's going to win board battles. Jake's got to do better with that. He's got to go dig pucks out. He's got to be able to do more than just score. I mean, Ken Saverin has said that a number of times on the air with us during the games this year. You know, I mean, it's something that you see that you've got to be able to contribute more than just one thing. Goals are good, but when goals aren't happening and you don't have anything else going on, I think that it's going to be tough for Jake to get back in. When he does, and he will, he's going to, you know, have a little burr in the saddle and go get him.
Islanders tomorrow night. John, always appreciate it, buddy. Be well.
Thanks, fellas.
John Walton will be on the call. You can hear their games on the Fan, on the Team 980 throughout the season as they get ramped up for the playoffs, the best team in the East right now. And as you said, Isles tomorrow, payback is in order.
I would like that.
They got annihilated 8-4 on April Fool's Day. That
no
game
more
was,
of that. Mm-mm.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And it was their worst game of the year. They get a chance for a little revenge coming up tomorrow night. So hopefully they can enact it. It will be a big day in D.C. sports with the Nats playing before the Capitals. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Sam Darnold traded to the Carolina Panthers. We'll react to that. How this affects Washington. This could mean something big for the first round of the NFL draft, could have major ramifications for Washington. We'll explain next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Breaking news this afternoon out of the NFL. The Carolina Panthers have traded for Sam Darnold, giving up a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick next year, a sixth-round pick in this year's draft. The New York Jets ridding themselves of Darnold as they prepare for the Zach Wilson experience. Boy, am I jealous. They will take him with the number two pick this year. So Lawrence goes one. Then you're going to have Wilson go two to the Jets.
And then the mystery.
And then the draft starts at three with the San Francisco 49ers. Your initial reaction, and we can open up the phones right now at 800 636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. What do you think when you hear a 2-4 and a 6 for Darnold? 800-636-1067. Danny, how would you have felt if the football team did this?
It's a future 2, which, you know, the days of draft value and that chart being gospel aren't necessarily true anymore, but bear with me. Next year's 2 is worth this year's 3. That's kind of how people tend to view future picks and kicking the can down the road a little bit. So giving up a couple mid-round picks in terms of value, I was okay doing that. Kind of pre-Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So had the foosball team gone 6 this year, 2-4 next year, with a chance to accumulate maybe a pick or two, maybe a compensatory selection, etc., I would have said, that's worth a shot. That's worth a flyer. Once you get you add Fitzpatrick, you're basically saying, well, I prefer 6 to this half dozen, right? It's the same kind of thing. A guy that's a Jag that's going to give you more high highs and maybe some lower lows versus a reclamation project. That's what Darnold is. In terms of value for Carolina, this is interesting because you've already got my guy Teddy B under contract at a pretty significant amount of money. I don't know that this necessarily unseats him. I think now it's a true competition, right, between those couple of guys. Unless they're going to find a way to move on from Bridgewater. I don't know, though.
You give up a 2 as part of a 3-pick package, and you pick up the second year of this deal, so the 5th-year option for Darnold. You have a limited time to find out if you're paying that guy and keeping him or not. Bridgewater, to me, is a placeholder quarterback, and Darnold is now a guy that you've got to get on the field and see what he is. Maybe it takes him a handful of weeks to supplant Bridgewater. I don't see it as a competition, though. I think they just traded for their starter. Why give up a 2? Why give up 3 picks and pick up that option for Darnold if you think Bridgewater can be your starter? Why be in the market for a quarterback all offseason?
This to me is the you got to play to win kind of philosophy, right? In other words, you've got to play the lottery here. If you find out that Sam Darnold is forever damaged and just will never be good because he got that jet stink all over him and he could just never get right, then it didn't kill you. It didn't ruin your franchise forever to be able to move on from him because you're on a short-term kind of thing. But you're basically, again, you're playing that lottery, right? If it turns out that he can play and all he had to do was get away from wide-eyed Adam Gase and into the wonderful system of Matt Rhule and Joe Brady and company, and you got all these weapons and, you know, we're a team on the rise, and it turns out that we got our guy for pretty cheap, then it's a win. You don't care about Teddy Bridgewater anymore, right? I see it as kind of those. It's not worth it to put down $1 million bet, but you put down a 10K bet where you could still walk away and not having lost your mortgage, not having lost your house. You see what I mean? Like, I see your point. You did give up a significant amount, but it's not so significant that you can't walk away. That you know what I mean? Like, if it turns out he's terrible,
I get it.
Then you're not ruined.
If you keep Bridgewater, he's still Teddy Bridgewater. He's a great backup.
He remains Teddy Bridgewater, is your point.
He's there if Darnold stinks and or gets hurt, which happened last year multiple times with the Jets, and Joe Flacco had to trot out and play. So he's waiting. I think there's a chance Teddy Bridgewater's not a Panther by the start of the season, to be honest with you. The other wrinkle here, and I'm going to get back into that idea, and we'll take calls, 800-636-1067. What if Washington would have traded a 2-4 and a 6 for Darnold? The other wrinkle is the Panthers have the 8th pick in the draft.
Ah, this is the wrinkle.
The Panthers, in a lot of mocks, have been projected to take a quarterback. As of right now, it looks like quarterbacks could go 1-4 if the Atlanta Falcons take, I'm going to say, Trey Lance at number 4. Let's say Justin Fields to San Francisco at 3, and then Trey Lance at 4 to the Falcons. Then that means only Mac Jones is left. While some people were having him land in Carolina at number 8. Now maybe you give them Patrick Surtain, the corner out of Alabama, or somebody like that. Starts the defensive run a little bit earlier, so Micah Parsons goes to the Broncos at 9. Maybe Virginia Tech corner Caleb Farley goes to the Cowboys at 10. Sorry, local Hokies fans for that. I could see this changing the first round considerably for teams like New England at 15, Washington at 19, if you have some hope of a QB falling. I think today was probably most helpful to the Patriots at 15. If they want a quarterback, and if they want, say, Mac Jones, then I could absolutely see New England celebrating right now, as there's one team above them, fewer than there was an hour ago, that may well take a QB. It's also a dance partner. Maybe the Panthers, before they got Darnold, wouldn't have been willing to trade out of the top 10. Now they might be, and you can go up seven spots if Trey Lance is there, if you're Bill Belichick, and take him at eight, or Mac Jones if you like him a lot.
And that's where the intrigue is to me, is one, it's, you know, the game of musical chairs that we talk about with the quarterbacks. There are, let's say for the sake of argument, you buy that there are five ready-made NFL starters coming out. It never works out that way, but let's just say that for the sake of argument. There are always going to be more than five willing dance partners, right? Or willing chairs or places to sit in. If you just removed one of those chairs, that's, you know, maybe the Broncos all of a sudden go, we didn't think any of these guys would be there at nine. Well, now maybe they are. Maybe we don't like Drew Lock as much anymore. You think you touched on the Patriots. The opportunity might present itself to do something, whereas you'd be precluded if there's more competition. And Washington is in this unique spot where they said, again, we're not going to stink. At worst, we are not going to take a massive step back and have us be awful and do a Taylor Heineke bit and have him get hurt in an hour and that be that. We're going to make sure that we're okay. Now maybe there's a possibility where it wouldn't cost you, you know, 7,000 different picks and money to move to a spot in the teens or around 9 or 10.
Let's go to Mark in Largo, who is on the Gambit DC listener lines. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Mark.
You know what, guys? Grant, and I know you feel about it like I feel. I think Danny does, too. The Carolina Panthers just made a trade for someone that Teddy Bridgewater has better numbers than. Teddy Bridgewater has a better passer rating than. And you're going to tell me, oh, well, he's about 3 or 4 years younger than him, so he's got a lot of upside. Because of his age? This is fascinating about the NFL. And you guys have been consistent. The Junkies have been consistent. So has JP and Brian. All of y'all have been legitimately down the level when it came to Sam Darnold. But the New York media, especially Michelle Greenberg, who's on Get Up, who's been champion Sam Darnold since God knows how long. This kid can't play. He's had to, look, I know the coach is horrible. I get it.
Yep.
But look, Jay Gruden wasn't Vince Lombardi either. Kirk Cousins put up good numbers. He threw 4,000 yards three seasons in a row. I mean, come on. Sam Darnold can't play. In my honest opinion, Brant, honestly, they should keep Teddy Bridgewater because I think he can really beat him out.
Well, I think if it's an open competition, he could.
Yeah, I think he would, right. Mark. I do.
Thanks for the call, buddy. If it's an open competition and those two guys have to actually go win the job, I think Bridgewater could beat him out probably. I'm not a huge Bridgewater guy. I think Bridgewater is a starter in the league, though, when you need 32 of them. He's proven that he can have huge games. He's just, over the course of 16 games, not going to make enough plays. But in a world where people love Alex Smith, if you love Alex Smith, you should also like Teddy Bridgewater a little bit. You know, they're similar. If you love Tyrod Taylor, you should like Teddy Bridgewater. It's just not my style of quarterback. Alex Smith has never been for me. Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater, never been for me. Don't make enough plays. Don't put up enough offense and yards and ball movement and scoring. The Darnold thing is fascinating. I think Mark's right. Here's why teams are in on Sam Darnold. Here's why the Jets were able to get a second, a fourth, and a sixth for Sam Darnold. It's not a secret. Gather around. He went third overall in the draft.
Ah, yes.
That's it. He's still only 23, and he went third overall in the draft. Those are the two bullet points. So when you're making calls in that Jets front office trying to sell Sam Darnold, hey, guys, 38 starts under his belt. He's still only 23. And did I mention he went third overall in the draft? If you just watch the tape, and I'm not sitting here saying I'm doing that, but I'm saying NFL evaluators, if you watch the games, there hasn't been enough deposits in the bank.
Yeah, good players play good sometimes. He didn't play very well, much at all.
Am I done on Sam Darnold? No, I'm not ruling his career over. I'm not saying he'll never be anything. He is absolutely a worthy reclamation project for me and a kick the tires guy, but a two, as part of a three-pick package, two picks in the first four rounds, and I know it's spread out over 2 years, but a two.
But it's significant, Grant. You're right.
And in fact, let me correct myself. The two and the four is in the same draft next year.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually half of your first four rounds of your draft next year for Sam Darnold. He hadn't played well enough for that.
No, he hasn't. But to me, the third bullet point I would add, in addition to third overall and
23.
The age, is he played in the most dysfunctional, disgusting, awful, bad organization that the sport has over the last couple of seasons.
I agree with you.
So you basically talk yourself into it.
That is what stops me from saying he can't play.
Right, me too.
Adam Gase is not any good. And the Jets, that was the worst offensive situation. Like, Jamison Crowder was head and shoulders better than anyone else they've had talent the last 2 years.
Their best option was to hand it to Frank Gore in 2021. Like, it's, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? So that maybe is a reason why you could still get a little something for him, where it's like, think of the Jets. I don't know if that's what the Jets are selling at this point. But
2 of 4 and a 6.
Yeah, but it's a lot. It's pricey. But
so what would you rather have done? Hmm. Rent Fitzpatrick for a year and kick the can down the road, which is what they've done. You have no future plan at quarterback still in Washington, but you have 1 year of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you had a lot of cap space, and it's only $10 million. Or trade 3 picks, including a second rounder, for Sam Darnold, whereas now you have the chance to have your future quarterback in your building, but you gave up a lot to get there. And a lot of people are saying, oh my gosh, the Panthers are going to look so foolish. Not if Sam Darnold turns into...
Look, let's say he's good.
...a answer.
Yeah.
Then you just hit the jackpot. If he's good, massive if. If he's good, what they did will make what Washington did and other teams like Washington look completely foolish. This guy was available for a song and a dance. A 2, a 4, and a 6, if you're trading it for a franchise quarterback, is nothing with a side of bacon. It's absolutely nothing. It's just when you're trading for a guy that most of us think will be a backup in 2 years, it's a lot. But that's the question. We'll hit the calls on this next, 800-636-1067. We should also give a direct answer to this.
Yeah.
What would you have rather done, knowing now what it cost? A 2, a 4, and a 6 for a chance to have your long-term answer in Sam Darnold, who is 23. Was that 16 years younger than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
About, yes.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick was Sam Darnold's dad, he'd be getting his driver's license when he had his first kid. I don't know, that was a weird way to say that.
I know what you meant, though.
Or are you cool with the one-year rental of Fitz when all it cost was money? $10 million, you had a lot of cap space, you're not giving up any picks. Better of those two options, but you don't know who your guy is next year, and you don't know who your future is still. And the Panthers feel like, at least for now, they can tell everyone they've got their guy in the building for the next few seasons until he proves that he can't be that guy. 800-636-1067 is the number. Gambit DC listener lines open. We're Greg and Dave. I'm Grant. He's Danny. You are listening to The Fan. What would you have rather done given Ryan Fitzpatrick $10 or $12 million, depending on if he hits his escalators for 1 year, or traded for Sam Darnold. Second, fourth, sixth rounder. That's what the Panthers have given up to bring in Darnold. He's 23 years old, a former third overall pick. If you are pro Darnold, you'll say he never had a shot. He didn't have weapons around him. Adam Gase is a quarterback killer. You'll point to Ryan Tannehill. Now, Tannehill, for the record, had better days and games in Miami than Darnold did in New York. So there was a little bit more of a sign that maybe he could play in this league before he left Adam Gase. But that's what a lot of people are saying, is he'll be the next Ryan Tannehill. He's going to go leave Gase and flourish. And that's possible. I will say that if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm giddy right now. I'm going and getting the biggest steak.
I got out. Yeah.
And I'm getting a nice glass of wine. I'm leaving New York. I'm leaving the Jets. They are the AFC version of Washington over the last 20 years. It's negativity and there's just, it's the reverse car wash. Everyone that goes in there leaves worse. But on top of that, I think Matt Rule's awesome. I think he's a good coach. Seems like a guy that players like. And I think Joe Brady's a star. I'm on record as saying I think he's going to be a head coach in the next 3 years. And one of those years is now passed. So I've got 2 years left on my prediction of Joe Brady, who got some coaching interviews already, being a head coach, now working with Sam Darnold. So I would rather Fitzpatrick and no picks. But I don't think it's as lopsided as people may think. I posted a poll at Grant H. Paulson. 77% of people voting, of the 500 who have so far, are saying Fitz for $12 million a better option than Darnold for 3 draft picks, including a second. To me, it's closer than that, and here's why. All you've done with this Fitzpatrick signing, while you have absolutely elevated your performance this year, you just kicked the can down the road a year.
And that's my point.
You still are no closer to a future franchise quarterback. In fact, you might make the case you're further away from it, because with Fitzpatrick, you're going to be more relevant this season. You're going to win some games you wouldn't with the Heinicke Allen experiment. And maybe it's going to be harder to get the quarterback next offseason. So while I'm still pro, it's $10 million bucks, You had a lot of cap space. Fitzpatrick is going to make you more interesting and win more football games. I think that's the answer here. Going and getting Darnold, you might have just solved your problem for the next 10 years. I personally don't think that's the case. I want to see him in a different offense, though. I want to see him with some weapons around.
Sure. So there are two doors. Door number one, there is a certain outcome, and that is you don't have your franchise quarterback on this roster for another year. That's with Fitzpatrick. That's what they chose. Option two, and I don't think Darnold's any good. I don't think he's any good at all. I think he's either too damaged, was never good in the first place. Whatever the case, I'm not interested in a reclamation project terribly. But I would still 100%, 100 times out of 100, rather trade for him than not make the decision. Because all I'm willing to do is anything and everything to find a long-term answer at quarterback for the first time since Joe Theismann broke his leg. That's all I care about with this organization is finding a guy. I have very little confidence that Darnold's the guy, but it's a non-zero chance, and I'll do anything for that. I'll keep trying.
Tay's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Hey, buddy. He hung up. I think the pressure might have been a bit much.
Because my take was so good.
You think that's what it was?
No.
He's probably texting his friends right now. You won't believe what Danny said.
Danny just said something.
He hung up to text his friends.
Yeah, probably.
Let's go to Kevin in Centerville on G&D. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Kevin.
Danny, blazing hot take, but did you know that Darnold was a number three overall pick?
I heard that, and the Jets weren't very good when he was there that time.
And were you aware that he's 23 years
old? He's only 23, guys.
Is he really only 23? I'm okay with Washington having passed. If I'm the GM having to make that decision, Fitzpatrick being a stopgap is fine because Darnold has not shown you a whole lot. I don't like, and you referenced it, I don't like the idea of giving up a second rounder because you look at how many talented players have been drafted in the second round over even just like the last couple of seasons. And Carolina, so last year they invested all of their draft picks into defensive players. You're putting Darnold into a position now where he's going to have to depend on DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson as his primary wide receiving targets. They need a left tackle. I mean, that addition doesn't get you any more competitive against New Orleans or Tampa Bay in that division. And I think maybe they were sitting at that position with their draft picks, and they're like, well, it's Mac Jones or nobody. And so they had to take a shot at someone, I guess. But, like, I don't know.
They don't have to, though. They could do what Washington did. Go a year with Bridgewater and wait till next year. Kick the can down the road. I mean, if Mac Jones is there, maybe you like him, maybe you don't. This tells me that they actually think – you don't trade what they traded if you don't think Sam Darnold can play. I don't know what Brady would have thought about him collegiately. He was not yet in the role he ended up with Joe Burrow at LSU when Darnold was playing at USC. So I don't know how much he saw him in college. I'm sure it was just the scouting now and the watching the film now that he had to do. But him and Rhule got together as a couple of quarterback whisperer types, and they must have liked enough what they saw to think, yeah, this is a franchise quarterback. Let's go to Andrew in Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, you guys. I got to agree with you, Grant. I think I like the Fitz deal instead of trading draft picks. And I mean, the Skins have been okay, drafted pretty well last year, so you figure they're going to give up at least a starter and the role player. And, I mean, Darnold, yeah, the Jets was a terrible situation, but the retread quarterback thing is like hoping you get good gas station sushi. I mean, Danny, you might find one, but
it's a great analogy,
dude.
Yes.
That price, yep, for a long time.
100%. 100%.
And that's what this is. You are hoping that this reclamation project.
Yeah, what, one in 100 it might
the
work?
Lottery.
Yeah, that's what
everyone
it is.
References Tannehill. For every Tannehill, there's 50 guys just like him that,
right,
didn't work.
At least. Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. But my point is, I have one certainty, and I know where that certainty leads. It leads to 30 years of not having any good records and not being any good at all. The other door, there's a chance. I'll do anything for a chance.
Pat, Outer Banks, what's up?
Hey, guys, I tell you what, I love it. I love your conversation. I love the quarterback thing going on in Washington. I would much rather have Fitzpatrick, Allen, and Heineke than Darnold and minus three draft picks any day of the week. I mean, we don't even know that Darnold is better than Heineke.
Well, that's true. I would like to think he's better than Heineke.
I mean,
one of them went in the top five in the draft. Now, you could say he's a huge bust. You don't go third overall and you don't have an entire draft process with guys like Kuiper and McShay and Mayock and Jeremiah fawning all over you because you have no physical tools.
Yeah, he was on 4,000-yard pace for a 7-6 team before he got hurt in 2019.
We
he's not a disaster.
Overdoing slightly how bad Sam Darnold is. This was a super disappointing season. Sam Darnold looked like a starter in the NFL early in his career. Not a particularly good one, but somewhere between the 24th and 32nd best starter in the NFL. Taylor Heinicke was out of football taking classes in college last year. So if I got to take one of those guys to go play 16 games this year, I'm taking Darnold. I'll take 67% of Darnold over Taylor Heinicke. But we don't know if he is going to end up supplanting Teddy Bridgewater or proving that he can start. So it is a lot to give up for a guy, based on what we've seen, who might end up being a backup. Some good calls on that. We can get back into it before we are done today. 5 at 5 is next. And remember, we're going to Indy to preview the national championship game tonight at 6 o'clock. Chuck Culpepper of The Post is on the scene. We'll talk with him on G&D.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.